Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting to you from Los Angeles, California, the West Coast. And as we sit here in the studio, I say we. actually, there's only one person inside the studio. That's me, Paul McGuire. And I want to welcome you aboard the Paul McGuire Report. We're going to deal with truth, something we deal with on every single program, truth. Because truth is a very rare commodity in today's world, and it's an extremely rare commodity inside of the so-called Bible-believing evangelical church. It's almost non-existent. And yet, despite these facts, Jesus Christ said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." So Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. But he's also the truth. And Christ said that it is the truth and only the truth that can set us free. Whenever we surrender our lives, our minds, our bodies, our souls, incrementally, over time, instantaneously, whenever we surrender inner parts of ourselves to the lie, we allow ourselves to be devoured by the beast system, warned about in the Bible and specifically the book of Revelation. Why do you think in the book of Revelation that God refers to certain supernaturally infused evil leaders in the last days? Why do you think God refers to them in the book of Revelation as beasts? Think about that. Beasts. And we're beasts in the sense of a horrific, like, horror movie. Horrific, soulless, devouring beast. An evil beast, a satanic beast. And Jesus Christ warns us in the book of Revelation that these things are going to rise in the last days. And you and I are in the last days. And these things that Christ warned about are appearing. And yet, 87% of evangelical churches and Christian churches or so-called Bible-believing churches forbid the teaching of Bible prophecy. So this is a very eerie and strange time that we live in. It's a time like no other time, the end of the age. And it also heralds the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Now, by soon, I can't give you a precise date. I'm not going to even try. But Jesus Christ is returning. Let me read you something in Revelation chapter 13. Starting at verse 1, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven and on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. His number is 666. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, why is it that God, through his Holy Spirit, when God was writing the book of Revelation, when God gave to John, when he was imprisoned on the island of Patmos, this supernatural vision referred to as the apocalypse or the unveiling, which is what the entire book of Revelation is. It's an unveiling of a mystery, the apocalypse. And why is it that God decided to refer to these beasts over and over again? What was he talking about? Because these are horrific images. And what these beasts do, according to God's word, are horrific. What is it that is so horrific and makes this time different than any other time in human history? Well, the answer is that we have now in our society, America, the Western nations, the European Union, Australia, New Zealand, on every continent, we have an explosion of technology that can also be communications technology, so-called entertainment technology, but what it really is, in reality, is its surveillance technology. So when you think of that Illuminati symbol, the pyramid that we discussed on the program the other day, the Illuminati symbol of the pyramid on the back of a U.S. dollar and up towards the top of the pyramid on the back of the U.S. dollar, we see the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And what does that represent? It represents what the Illuminati has been organized for, its primary purpose, which is to bring in this Luciferian and satanic New World Order. So the other question is, what is the purpose of an all-seeing eye? Well, the purpose of an eye is to see. It's to surveil. So the purpose of the all-seeing eye of Lucifer is a symbol representing Lucifer's power to see every man and woman alive, and Lucifer's desire to dominate and control every man or woman alive. The all-seeing eye of Lucifer is a symbol that tells us about the mass global surveillance system which has been erected during our lifetime. The all-seeing eye, which means that everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, you are being spied upon by mass electronic surveillance. It's everywhere. It's in your laptop computer. It's in your cell phone. It's in your flat screen television. It's in the laptop screen of your computer, whether it's desktop. It's in traffic lights. It's in stores. I mean, I could go on for an hour just listing the different places that an electronic microscope has been placed, the all-seeing eye. They call it the Internet of Things, IoT, the Internet of Things. And what that means is that everything in your life that essentially is electronic or computerized has the capacity to spy on you, record what you're doing, not just visually, but in terms of audio, electronic measurements, et cetera, et cetera. So what you have is that, let's say you have an electronic alarm system for your house as a deterrent against thieves or whatever. But those same cameras that are designed to protect you visually from somebody attempting to break into your house or whatever, those same cameras are spying on you 24/7, and they can be recorded 24/7. And you say, well, why would anybody want to record me 24/7? Well, that's a good question. For the most part, there's no reason to record you. But remember that in the movie Minority Report with, forgot the name of that Scientologist star, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise starred in that science fiction movie, Minority Report. And in that movie, it was a futuristic society in which, because they relied on computerized mass electronic surveillance, all the people in society were constantly being spied on electronically. And you could be arrested for what was called a pre-crime. And a pre-crime is a crime that you never committed. A pre-crime is a crime that you never did. A pre-crime really is an imaginary crime. It is based on what artificially intelligent computers, coupled with an occultic computer system, they do an electronic profile on your personality and every event in your life. And if they determine through their artificially intelligent computers that you are capable of committing a crime, or if they, through artificial intelligence, determine that you may commit a crime, they arrest you in advance, even though you never committed a crime. You are arrested without a trial, without a jury. You are arrested simply because some computer determines that you're going to commit a crime in the future. So it's called pre-crime. Now, in case you think that's crazy, that technology, that pre-crime technology, is already being implemented. Even as we speak, electronic dossiers, electronic profiles are being created on every person in the nation and in the nations of the earth. There's electronic profiles being created about you, in which they assess your personality and your profile based on their belief system, which is the belief system of the New World Order. And if they determine that you may potentially deviate or are deviating from the belief system of the New World Order, they implement punishments. And in a worst case scenario, you could be arrested for a pre-crime. And this is not happening in the future. It's already begun. That's why you need to get up to speed on it. And some of you need to wake up. You are now living in the future. We're not waiting for the future to happen. You're living in the future. Some of the things that I'm talking about, because of computer technology and artificial intelligence, some of the electronic devices are moving ahead so rapidly that a year from now, there will be so many new technologies implemented in terms of surveillance and profiling and other things that it will stun you. And then a year from that, it will stun you even more. And our entire society globally right now is being completely re-engineered. We some of us know about the Communist Chinese social credit system. And that is a system that is a beast system in every sense of the word, because all Chinese citizens are being spied upon and electronically monitored 24/7. And there's always a running score being kept on whether or not they're good citizens. Now, being a good citizen is determined by the Communist Party. Being a good citizen, you can't be a Christian in Communist China and be a good citizen. If you're a Christian, you're a bad citizen. You're treated like a criminal. And so if you've seen the videos of these of Communist Chinese social credit system, you see Communist Chinese citizens like walking across the street or whatever, and you'll see digital numbers whizzing by, going up or down, and everything that citizen does is being calculated. It's either being added to or subtracted to. So if they litter, they lose points. If they curse or get into an argument, they lose points. But also if they say God bless you, they lose points. Or if they go to church, or God forbid, they're actually caught reading a Bible, they could be in prison, because this computerized social credit system is measuring their every move. This is a totalitarian state on steroids. And by the way, this is where America is now going rapidly. And unless people speak out, this is where we are. This is our destiny. Complete the lockdown of the pandemic. It was nothing compared to the lockdown that is being implemented through technology. The lockdown was a method of social conditioning to prepare the mass population for a lifetime of lockdowns. And who was it that sold and consulted and advised the Communist Chinese Party on how to install the computers and the cameras and the computerized algorithms in which they erected their social credit system? Well, it was the American technology companies that poured billions of dollars of research and technology into Communist China. It was the American technology companies, and I won't name for obvious reasons the name of all these giant big tech companies that participated in the social credit system. But that same social credit system is being erected right now in America and other Western nations. It's just not on the radar screen of the average citizen. And underneath COVID and things of that nature, underneath that provides the exterior cover story for what is a massive social credit system here in America being erected. And that brings us into an electronic totalitarian state. You know, that's a horrific thought, and it should trouble you and frighten you. And I'm not here to frighten you, by the way. But remember what Jesus Christ said: unless you know the truth, you can't be free. If you're walking around in the same collective delusion that 87% of evangelical Christians are walking around in, you're walking around in a fog and you can't see anything and you're oblivious to what's happening all around you. And there's no way, unless you are egregiously spiritually deceived, for someone to walk around and to profess that they're a born-again Christian, or to profess that they're saved, or to profess that they are a Christian, or even to profess that they love Jesus Christ, somebody to walk around and say those things, and yet at the same time, their life reveals that they're oblivious to everything we've just discussed, that they're completely disconnected from the truth of reality, and that they have no concern over the beast system that is being created all around us. For somebody to maintain that they love Jesus in light of these challenging realities, to me, is a blasphemy that is unspeakable. It's the ultimate height of delusion, because at least the secular humanists openly espouse that they don't believe in God. They openly espouse that they believe mankind is the product of an evolutionary accident. Well, at least there's a certain amount of integrity in that, because they're not professing to be Christians. They're professing to be humanists that don't believe in God. So when they say they don't believe in God and they act like it, they're being consistent with their belief system. But think of how hideous it is and how obscene it is to run around claiming to be a born-again Christian, claiming to love Jesus Christ, claiming that you're going to go to heaven, and claiming that you love Jesus, etc. And yet, you know nothing about what's happening in your world, in your society, to your children, to your neighborhood. You're completely clueless. You're completely disconnected from reality. How is it that you can claim? On what basis? On what evidence? I mean, for crying out loud, based on what evidence can you claim to be a true born-again Christian? Where is the evidence? There's some expression I'm trying to recall. Something, it goes something like this: if you were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Now think about that. If you were to arrest the average Christian in America who claims to be a Christian, if you were to arrest them for being a Christian, how many of these so-called Christians would there be enough evidence or proof of their claim to be Christians? How much evidence would there be to convict them of being Christians? None, because they're in their thoughts, in their words, in their deeds, in how they perceive reality, how they act, etc., etc. There's no evidence, there's no record that they're Christians. So think about that for a moment. When you look at what's happening in America and what is happening in other nations around the world, a great deal of what is happening is due to the fact that people who call themselves Christians are no longer functioning as the light of the world. They are like the salt that Christ referred to that has lost its savor or its taste. And then Christ's response, not mine, but Jesus Christ said, when Christians go around acting like salt that is no longer salty, or salt that has lost its savor, Jesus said, the only thing they're good for is to be trampled underfoot. In other words, Jesus Christ was saying, they're completely useless. And so, if we look at 87% of Christians who perhaps Christ would consider useless, is it any wonder that our nation continues to move into a totalitarian state with nobody there to put the brakes on, nobody there to blow the trumpet or the shofar of warning? Is that the way it's supposed to be? Is that why God gave us the book of Revelation? Is that why God gave us a great commission where we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, and occupy until he comes? Of course not. Of course not. We're supposed to be people that are awakened through revival and awakened through a biblical awakening, which means the Word of God is alive and well inside of us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a moment. By the way, visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Help us, stand with us as we advance communicating the truth and shining the light of Jesus Christ. And you can go to paulmcguire.us and electronically donate or make a contribution through any number of safe and secure systems. With your help, and together with your help, we can turn the tide of this movement of Christians that have lost their ability to shine the light of Christ. And together we can shine the light of Christ. Together we can blow the shofar or the trumpet of warning. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a second. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. In light of all these things, in light of the challenges that face us, the fact of the matter remains that you and I were chosen to be here in this time zone, living wherever we live. You and I were chosen before the beginning of time to be here for such a time as this. So we're not here in this society at this time with these challenges. We're not here accidentally. We're not here by random chance. We are here by the specific plan of God that was conceived before the foundation of the world. So everything that has been built into you by God, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, the experiences that you have had in life, all of these things have been allowed by God or put into you by God so that you could fulfill effectively your divine assignment. In other words, your divine assignment was intended by God to take place within this very challenging environment that I just spoke of. Otherwise, God would have, placed you to be a missionary on one of the islands of Hawaii. Now, I'm not knocking. If you're listening to me in one of the islands of Hawaii, like Maui or whatever, I'm not knocking your assignment and your call. I mean, I think I'd love to just move tomorrow. And I'm not here to judge you either, by the way. Because God calls us all for different areas and different purposes. But the point is, you have been equipped by God. You have been equipped by the Holy Spirit to fulfill a particular destiny, the overarching destiny that we all fulfill as Christians, is we're supposed to bring people to Jesus Christ, either directly ourselves or by partnering with a ministry that evangelizes, or partnering with a ministry that communicates the Word of God. or by doing it by partnering with a ministry like ours, or a different kind of ministry. What the point is, whatever God is leading you to partner with, so that people are one to Christ. That's an overarching call. And to communicate the Bible in a biblical worldview, which is critical right now, because very few Christians are doing that. How can you have revival? How can you have a change in America? How can you have a so-called biblical Great Awakening if you don't have anybody communicating a biblical world, a worldview? Well, of course, the answer is obvious. You can't. So doing the kinds of things that we're doing through this ministry is imperative. And it's imperative because it's not happening, for the most part, in the majority of ministries. Most of the ministries are flowing in a kind of humanistic, new age, extremely watered down Christianity that has no power to convict, no power to truly bring people to Jesus Christ. So when you and I choose to be obedient to God and obey our assignment, then guess what happens? All the gifts, the abilities, the talents that he's placed in you and me become operative by the Spirit of God. And the most exciting thing, most dynamic thing of all, that you will discover personally, by the way, is that when you begin to step out in faith to obey God, you begin to step out in faith to be the person he called you to be, all of a sudden you discover that you have something inside yourself of far more power than perhaps you realized. And that is, you learn how to draw on the wellspring or the fountain or the rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, that are flowing now out of your inmost being. And those rivers of living water that flow out of your inmost being supernaturally empower you, supernaturally baptize you, supernaturally energize you, and supernaturally equip you to do things that you and I could never do if we were simply relying on our own strength or our own willpower or our own talents and abilities apart from Christ. So when you allow the Lord to give you a revelation of this truth, you will discover that you have been clothed with power from on high, dunamis, which comes from the word dynamite, the explosive power of God to break chains and shackles in your life and in the life of people that you minister to. You'll discover that when you begin to step out to obey God in faith, that God supernaturally anoints you. God supernaturally infuses you with power from on high. God gives you the supernatural ability, the supernatural wisdom, the supernatural talent, supernatural gifting to be an overcomer when otherwise you would be brought into captivity or enslaved. If you were trying to fight the battle in your own human strength, you would go down. But when you begin to step out in obedience to Jesus Christ, you begin to feel and experience the infusion of his divine Holy Spirit power. And even as I speak now, because you see, we are both together in the body of Christ, the supernatural body of Christ, the Lord is being faithful right now to infuse you with power from on high. So there are many of you listening in the United States and across the world that, as we have gathered together now via this program, you are being infused right now at this moment you're being infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's like a surging, living force of Jesus filling you and equipping you. It's a surging, empowering force from the Spirit of God. The same power of the Holy Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power that is released in your life right now. So you're being infused and downloaded with power from on high. And it's critical that you learn how to step out of the framework of the world system and the world system's modalities of doing things, modalities of meeting your goals or meeting your needs, or however you've been operating your life. The Lord wants you to begin to take steps so that you're not acting like just another child of the world system, ruled by fear. You're not acting and adopting your behavior and your thought patterns like just another child of the world system, because you're not. In the core of your identity is the Spirit of God. You're not just another child of the world system. You are a supernatural, born-again child of God who is guaranteed entrance into heaven. And God has given you a down payment to prove to you the reliability of his word, to prove to you that your salvation is guaranteed and secure. Jesus Christ has given you a down payment right now. He's given you a down payment of what is to come. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit of God. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, and you know that, and you can feel that, and your inner man or woman resonates with that fact, the fact that you have the Holy Spirit of God inside you, that Holy Spirit is a down payment from God proving to you that your salvation is real, that Jesus is real, and that Jesus Christ is supernaturally meeting your needs and covering your life and guiding and leading you in ways that children of this world, it's impossible for them to access those kinds of things because they've never been born again. This is Paul McGuire asking you to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. This is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. When Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, and you and I are his disciples, by the way, he taught them in so many different ways about the power of miracles, the supernatural power of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit. So what he was doing, he was preparing his disciples for the time when he wouldn't be on the earth, because Jesus Christ knew that he came into the earth as the Lamb of God. He knew that his primary purpose from the Father was to die for the sins of mankind, to die for your sins and my sins, and that he would have to be crucified on a cross to take away the sins of the world. And after he was crucified on the cross and died for our sins, his body was placed in a tomb, heavily guarded by the equivalent of Navy SEALs or special ops or something. The elite Roman soldiers were guarding the tomb that Jesus' body was placed in, and they put a giant rock in the doorway. And yet when they chose to move the rock and examine the inside of the tomb, they saw that Jesus Christ was not in the tomb, even though he was placed in there dead. And they saw two angels glowing. Now, the disciples, like you and me, they were human, like you and me. And they were distraught. They were beside themselves. They were upset is like too tame of a word. They were in total despair because they had an idea that Jesus Christ was going to come at that moment and bring the kingdom of God. Even though Jesus Christ gave them a heads up, they really weren't prepared for the fact that Jesus was dead. And so it appeared, if you looked at what happened to Jesus and what happened to his followers, if you were looking at the entire scenario through the eyes of a child of the world system, you would categorize Jesus' ministry and Jesus' followers as total, total failures. And Jesus as being some kind of weak and impotent and self-deluded leader. I mean, they were depressed, man. I mean, totally blown out and depressed. And they were laughed at and mocked because, you know, all the crowds were gathering around following Jesus, etc. And then it's all over. He was crucified on a cross. He died an agonizing death. Then when his body was dead, they tossed his body in a tomb, guarded it with the Roman elite soldiers. And his disciples were running for cover. They were hiding. I mean, they were completely bankrupt emotionally and psychologically. And we have to be careful as believers or as disciples or as Christians in the time period that we live in. Because you see, when we talk about the reality, yet intensity of the things that are coming on the earth, like I did on today's program, we can be tempted, if we're not looking at the situation through the mind of Christ, we can be tempted to look at the situation as a child of the world system. And that will bring us to a place that it brought the early disciples, a place of despair, depression, hopelessness, fear, and being completely blown out. Because on one level, that's the level of looking at the situation from the perspective of a child of the world system, it appears totally hopeless, and it appears that Christians and the message of Jesus Christ is a total failure. And so we, like the disciples, are challenged, and we need to do what the disciples did when they were faced with this series of impossibilities. Remember that Jesus Christ broke the power of sin and death. He didn't stay dead. His body didn't stay in the tomb. He not only resurrected, he ascended back into heaven. So when Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, he brought to them a message of bold, brilliant, glorious truth, which is that death could not confine Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ascends into heaven, and the angels say to the disciples of Jesus Christ that the same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will return in a likewise manner. And that was a reference to the second coming. Now, you and I are challenged like the disciples were. And the disciples were able to regather and rebound in the power of the Holy Spirit because they sought the Lord on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And when they sought the Lord on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, they experienced something supernatural that was so above and beyond what they normally experienced that it totally supernaturally transformed their lives, and it transformed their ability to fulfill the mission that Christ had for them. So as they were worshiping God in the upper room, God began to pour out his Holy Spirit on the early church, and he clothed them with power from on high, the Spirit of God, the dunamis power of God. So these ordinary disciples are worshiping God in the upper room, and the power of the Holy Spirit is coming upon them, and they're being transformed, and they're being filled with power from on high. And when this explosive dynamite dunamis force of the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, fear is banished from their presence and minds. They're filled with boldness, a supernatural boldness that transcends any psychological boldness. And they are fearless, that they have boldness, and now they're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're recognizing that when they speak and minister the Word of God, that actual miracles are occurring through the disciples, through the Apostle Paul. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. Miracles are happening. And all of a sudden, the same anointing, the same outpouring of the Spirit, the same supernatural miracles that were happening around Jesus Christ when he was on earth are now happening through his disciples. Now, his disciples are a tiny group of followers, and they're facing down the mightiest empire perhaps in human history, the Roman Empire, and the massive population of the Roman Empire, which believed in idols and the occult and the gods of Rome. These people weren't Christians. And yet this ragtag group of disciples were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they began to walk by faith, step by faith, step by step by faith, miracles, signs, wonders, people began to be saved. And then promotion began to happen because everybody began talking about the miracles that were being worked supernaturally through the disciples, and news of what they were doing and the salvations and the deliverances began to spread like wildfire, first in the area that they started in, and then it began to move throughout the Roman Empire. And eventually, it took time, but eventually, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of the disciples triumphed over the Roman Empire. And the only way the Roman Emperor Constantine could hold on to his power politically and militarily is all of a sudden he had to deal with a brand new equation in the mix. And that brand new equation was the fact that the Empire of Rome was no longer dominated by a population that were all pagans and idol worshippers and the occultists. All of a sudden, the numerical population growth of people that had converted to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the disciples was now in the millions of people. And they became numerically such a powerful force in the Roman Empire that Constantine knew that the only way he could stay in power was he had to do all kinds of things to appease this new population of millions of born-again Christians that were now alive and well in Rome, because the demographics or the characteristics of the population of Rome had radically changed due to the preaching of the disciples and the revival and evangelistic explosion that occurred because of the disciples. And remember, the disciples started out, they didn't have any armies or great sums of wealth. That was all in the hands of the Roman Empire. So Constantine, the only way he can keep his power is he begins to make Rome more and more like a Christian culture. Now, admittedly, he played games, Constantine, because he wanted to appease the pagan Romans, but he also had to appease the Christian Romans. But the point is that what the lesson is that God wants us to understand is that just because in a moment of time things look impossible, if you're a true Christian and you're walking in the supernatural and relying on the miraculous and relying on the Word of God, and then you begin to obey the command of God seriously and not play games and take those baby steps of faith, God is going to back up your efforts with the power of the Holy Spirit. And even though you originally start, perhaps, with a small percentage, a small remnant of believers, if you continue on in faith through the power of Jesus Christ, you're going to transform your world, no matter how much you are statistically outnumbered during a particular period of time. So the bottom line to that equation is there is no reason to allow fear to be in your consciousness. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And as you move forward in faith, fear dissolves. And boldness fills your inner man or inner woman. A supernatural boldness that is impossible to describe unless you personally have tasted and have drank from the rivers of the Holy Spirit. The rivers of the Holy Spirit that have the power to transform and to fulfill destinies and to alter the course of even national destinies. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We are doing everything we can to spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are expanding our outreach. We are expanding the outlets we're on. We are taking steps to make sure that we are utilizing certain mechanisms that enable us to communicate truth in a powerful way. But in order for us to win this battle, we need your constant participation as prayer warriors, as people who are spreading our messages far and wide, and as people who go before the Lord and worship and ask God what you can do personally to help us in terms of your financial contributions and donations. We are committed to moving forward, and we are committed to proclaiming the message of truth and applying that to all areas of life. So thank you for your participation, and thank you for your prayers, and thank you for standing with us. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.